rescued me. Now I am free. And oh my God, your mercy surrounds me, and your grace takes my place. Oh my God, oh my God, you've forgiven me, you have forgiven me.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by Prayerful Living and open to all. We are delighted that you've joined us to participate in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 163.
Jesus, what peace that is like thine, forgive as we would be forgiven. If he did, oh, what power divine could then transform our earth to heaven.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is, to be forgiven is to be restored. I will be reading from the J.B. Phillips and New Living Translation versions of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Isaiah. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Sheba in place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from the east and west. I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the peoples of the world. Which of their idols has ever foretold such things? Which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can testify that they spoke the truth? But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been and never will be. Yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are my witnesses that I am the only God. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. But dear family of Jacob, you refuse to ask for my help. You have grown tired of me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep or goats for burnt offerings. You have not honored me with sacrifices, though I have not burdened and wearied you with requests for grain offering and frankincense. You have not brought me fragrant calamus or pleased me with the fat from sacrifices. Instead, you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your faults. Yes, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Jeremiah. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, "You should know the Lord," for everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Ephesians. We have been ransomed through the Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on his overflowing grace, which he poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed his hidden design to us, which is according to his good will and the plan that he intended to accomplish through his Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all time, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God, who accomplishes everything according to his design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. Hebrews. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Ephesians. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. Romans. So now there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The wages that sin pays are death, but God's gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians. It isn't that we ourselves are qualified to claim that anything came from us. No, our qualification is from God. Philippians. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you always obey me, not just when I am present, but now, even more while I am away, carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out his good purposes. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, innocent children of God. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Atonement is the exemplification of man's unity with God, whereby man reflects divine truth, life, and love. We acknowledge God's forgiveness of sin in the destruction of sin and the spiritual standing that casts out evil as unreal. The atonement is a hard problem in theology, but its scientific explanation is that suffering is an error of sinful sense which truth destroys, and that eventually both sin and suffering will fall at the feet of everlasting love. The atonement requires constant self-immolation on the sinner's part. Sin brought death, and death will disappear with the disappearance of sin. Every pang of repentance and suffering, every effort for reform, every good thought and deed will help us to understand Jesus' atonement for sin and aid its efficacy. But if the sinner continues to pray and repent, sin and be sorry, he has little part in the atonement, in the at-one-ment with God, for he lacks the practical repentance which reforms the heart and enables man to do the will of wisdom. By it we may become involuntary hypocrites, uttering desires which are not real, and consoling ourselves in the midst of sin with the recollection that we have prayed over it, or mean to ask forgiveness at some later day. This is having part in the atonement. This is the understanding in which Jesus suffered and triumphed. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. The death of a false material sense and of sin, not the death of organic matter, is what reveals man and life, harmonious, real, and eternal. The atonement of Christ reconciles man to God, not God to man. The divine principle of Christ is God, and how can God propitiate himself? I am thankful for all these proofs, but far more grateful am I for the spiritual teaching to love, to forgive, to curb my tongue, and cease my criticism. Man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. It was therefore Christ's purpose to reconcile man to God, not God to man. He came teaching and showing men how to destroy sin, sickness, and death. Then being will be recognized as spiritual, and death will be obsolete, though now some insist that death is the necessary prelude to immortality. Even Christ cannot reconcile truth to error, for truth and error are irreconcilable. We acknowledge Jesus' atonement as the evidence of divine, efficacious love, unfolding man's unity with God through Christ Jesus, the way-shower. And we acknowledge that man is saved through Christ, through truth, life, and love, as demonstrated by the Galilean prophet in healing the sick and overcoming sin and death.